God woke me up this morning with blessings untold. A precious loving family in a house that we call home. The promise of eternal life because of Calvary. A peace that settled in my heart since the day He saved me. Look what God has done. I stand amazed to think of His love. I don't deserve it. There's no way I could earn it. Eternity is not long enough to thank God for all He has done. He's answered prayers I prayed for years. Never once has He failed me. He made a way when all I saw was impossibility. My heart bows in worship, my lips sing His praise. We will choose to serve the Lord for the rest of our days. Look what God has done. I stand amazed to think of His love. I don't deserve it. There's no way I could earn it. Eternity is not long enough to thank God for all He has done. He saved me. He gave me a new song to sing. He knows me, He holds me in the shelter of His wing. He's coming to get me, His promise He will keep. As I stand in His presence, my song will repeat. Look what God has done. I stand amazed to think of His love. I don't deserve it. There's no way I could earn it. Eternity is not long enough to thank God for all He has done. Just look at what God has done.
You know, we could begin today to praise the Lord for everything He's done, and we would never run out of things to praise Him for. And, you know, if you got up today, that's something to praise the Lord for. So thank you for that, ladies. That's a blessing. I appreciate that very, very much. Maybe you haven't given much thought. I ran across something this week that I wanted to share with you, and I've been trying to figure out a place to put it, and I think this fits today. We've heard so many good songs this morning about God's blessings on our life. So let me just read this to you. Maybe you haven't ever given much thought to this, but sleep is one of the most vulnerable things we do. When you close your eyes at night, you give up control. You can't fight battles, you can't solve problems, or keep watch. You simply rest. That's why David's words are so remarkable, because this is a man who lived with constant threats, wild animals as a shepherd, to a jealous, vengeful Saul, to enemies as Israel's king. Yet he could say in Psalm 4, verse 8, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For Thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. His peace didn't come from locked doors, security systems, or perfect circumstances. No, His peace came from knowing the Lord Himself was His safety. We often have the idea that our peace will come when everything around us is settled, when the bills are paid, when the conflicts are resolved, or our fortune is certain. But true peace isn't the absence of problems. It is the presence of God. You know what you can do? Do you know what you can do to go to bed tonight, and not because life is simple, but because Psalm 121 verse 4 says, He that keepeth Israel and you shall neither slumber nor sleep. Those are thought-provoking words. True peace isn't the absence of problems. It's the presence of God. So that was a blessing to my heart. I just read that this week, and I thought, man, I got to figure out a place to share that with you. And I think we figured out the spot. All right, we're going to go to Joshua chapter number 4 today. We had a lesson in Sunday school for the men on quit being complainers and start being thankful. So because we find ourselves a lot of complaining, don't we? So, all right, Joshua chapter number 4 today. Would you stand with me? We're going to read verses 1 down to verse 9. If you're able to stand, if not, that's fine. But just stand in honor to God's Word as we read here in Joshua chapter 4 and verse number 1. And the Bible says, and when it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take ye 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every man a tribe. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carry them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priest which bare the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. So we're going to stop reading right there. And I've titled the message today, Strengthening Your Homes, or What Mean You by These Stones? We're going to look at what the Bible tells us here in Joshua chapter 4 to strengthen our homes. We need strong homes today. And if you're ever someone who keeps tabs on what's happening in our nation today, we have a culture that is against your home. We have a world today that promotes things that are contrary to what a a Christian home ought to be. So we need to strengthen our homes, is the bottom line. Let's have a word of prayer. We'll let you be seated. Father, we are thankful today for opportunity that we have to be here this week. And Lord, Heritage Baptist, it's just been a blessing to be around and hear the singing and to see folks be faithful this week. And Lord, it's been a long week, and I'm thankful today that we've made it through. And God, you've worked in people's lives, and you've spoken to hearts, and I just pray that this day that we would see you move in hearts today. And God, if there be somebody that's here this morning or listening in on the live stream, dear God, that you might speak to their heart if they have a need for Jesus today. Lord, what a wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving it would be to have someone come down the aisle and trust you today as their Savior. What a wonderful day, what a wonderful Thanksgiving week that would be for that person who maybe needs a Savior today, that would walk forward and trust you today. So Lord, speak to our hearts this morning. And we love you and thank you for your love to us. In your name we pray, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. And I do want to say thank you for this week. And, there's not very many churches that have a 8-day meeting. And I think the pastor has done it through a scriptural influence. And so thank you for those of you that have come every night and came yesterday. And we had a great fellowship. We had food. Yeah. Amen. And so thank you. I appreciate so much. And I understand it's not to please me, it's to please the Lord, right? But you know, I know it's encouraged your pastor to see you come, and it's encouraged me for you to be here. Thank you for your kindness to us. And we got one more service. You know, between my wife and I, we've spoken 20 times this week, so I only got two left. Right now and then tonight. And but it's been fun. I've enjoyed it, and the pastor's just been very gracious, and they've let us just have the run of the house. And as long as Peggy Sue doesn't sit in my spot on the couch, it's just been anyway. Peggy's their dog, so her and I conflict. We have a conflict going as to this one particular spot that I want to sit, and she wants to sit right where I sit. So she hadn't bit me yet. I've tried to bite her a couple of times, but I'd be in the newspaper, man bites dog for sitting in his place on the couch. But anyway, so it's been a great week. Thank you for being here. So, all right, so let's go back about 5 years before the event that we just read about here in the book of Joshua, chapter number 5. And a father and his son are walking near the Jordan River at a place called Gilgal. And as they make their way, the little boy spies a set of stones, and it's obvious that they're not just regular rocks. They're smooth. It's obvious that maybe they came from the river, and they're stacked up there, and however they would stack them up. There are 12 stones, and the little boy is curious about these 12 stones that he sees stacked up. And so he looks at his father and he says to his father, "Father, what are these? What do these stones mean?" And the father sits down on a log and he says, "Sit down here next to me, son, and I'll tell you what these stones are all about." And so with that, he begins to relate to the young boy, his young son, the events that we read here in Joshua chapter number 4. Now, perhaps you haven't ever given much thought to this, but the Word of God is a book of memorials. Let me give you some examples. The Passover in Exodus chapter 12 and chapter 13 was a memorial that God had the children of Israel on the first month, on the 14th day of every year, to observe the Passover. And the Passover would have been to commemorate the night when the Lord passed over the children of Israel, and every house that had the blood applied over the doorpost, over the door, and on each side, when the Lord came to that house, when He saw the blood applied, He passed over that home. Thus the name Passover. Baptism is a memorial, isn't it? Every time someone is put into the baptismal waters, the preacher stands there and said, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, buried in what? The likeness of His death, raised in the likeness of His resurrection. Baptism is a memorial. It pictures the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord's Supper is a memorial. Every time you observe the Lord's Supper, and in fact, Jesus tells His disciples on the night before He was crucified, as oft as you do it in what? Remembrance of Me. It's right here on the front of the communion table. It's right here. In remembrance, right? So all of those are memorials. They are pictures of things. Our nation has its own memorials. The Vietnam Memorial. The Iwo Jima Memorial. Veterans Day is a day to commemorate, isn't it? It used to be Armistice Day. And I had a preacher that I worked for that got married on November the 11th, Armistice Day. And he said, we've been fighting ever since. And, you know, Armistice Day, but now it's known as Veterans Day. Memorial Day. It's a day in the month of May where we celebrate and think about people that have gone on. April the 19th, 1995. Now, that doesn't mean anything to you, but for us that are from Oklahoma City, that was the day the Murrell Building was bombed in 1995. How about this one? September the 11th, 2001. Last summer, we were in New York City, and we got to go to the site of the Twin Towers and the memorial that was set up there. So all of these are days that we have many memorials in our life. In our text, God tells Joshua to set up a memorial of stones. Now, and it was designed, in fact, it says in verse 6, that when the children asked their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? God had Joshua set up these stones to be a memorial that from every generation on, that when children would ask their fathers, what do these stones mean? That their fathers would be able to tell them, this is what God did here this day. So what was the purpose? Let me give you some purpose of why I think God had them set up these stones. Number one, it was to do this. I think He had them set up these stones to shake their memory. To shake their memory. Now, isn't it easy to forget things? I was telling the pastor's family the other day, I don't have Alzheimer's, but I do have some timers. Another one said, I have a photographic memory, it's just that the memory card is full. And we tend to forget things, don't we? Now, I don't know this, and I just had this thought run through my mind, so if I say this, and my wife reminds me later, I don't know that I've ever forgotten our anniversary or her birthday, have I? Okay, very good. So she just confirmed it. But there are other things that I've forgotten. I have reminders on my phone. You have reminders on your phone? I have a desk calendar in our office at home, and I've got a little calendar that I carry around, and it has these things pop up on my phone all the time, and I still forget things. It's amazing how often we forget. But you know what? We're not the only ones that forget things. God even wanted the children of Israel. He warned them about forgetting Him. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 12, He says this, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. So that heap of stones, those 12 stones, would be a reminder of who God is and what God had done that particular day. So why do you think that we tend to forget God, who God is, and what He has done. I think sometimes we forget God when we get in a hurry. And we're not going to take the time to go there. But in Genesis chapter 15, God comes to Abraham and He reconfirms a promise that He made to him way back in chapter number 12. And the very next chapter, you go back and you read it, the very next chapter, Sarah says to her husband, Abraham, you know what, I think God's forgotten about us, so let's take matters into our own hands. And she had Abraham go into her handmaid Hagar, and a son Ishmael, which was not the son of the promise, was born. So basically, here's what they did. They were tired of waiting on God. And I understand this, you know, because they're very old people. And the old people just don't have babies. And they took matters into their own hands. And they said, God's forgotten about us. So therefore, we're going to take matters into our own hands. And they got in a hurry. And by the way, our world is the recipient of Sarah and Abraham getting hold of God, getting ahead of God today. I read this somewhere, don't get ahead of God because you don't know where He's headed. Isn't that true? So sometimes we tend to forget God when we get in a hurry. Number two, I think we tend to forget God when we get comfortable. In Hosea chapter 13, God says to the children of Israel, He said this, according to their pasture, so were they filled. They were filled and their heart was exalted, therefore have they forgotten Me. We tend to forget God when we get comfortable. You know what I mean by that? Comfortable. Your bills are paid. You know, your grandkids or your kids are behaving. Car's running. You know, everything's going good in our lives. And unfortunately, sometimes when things are that way, we forget where all that stuff comes from. You know what I mean? Count your blessings. It's a blessing today that God gives us another day of life and breath, isn't it? And sometimes, you know what, and I hope you understand what I'm saying. You know, on those days when things are comfortable in our life, those are the days that we don't need to forget who God is. Because you're comfortable because God's given you a lot of blessings. Count your blessings. All right? There shall be showers of blessing. We heard that a lot today, didn't we? Thank you for picking those songs. You didn't know what I was preaching on today, but thank you for that. But I think the other side of that is also true. We sometimes forget God when we get uncomfortable. Have you been there? Life isn't going well. You know, you get the health, your health isn't right, and your family isn't right. And you might even, and I know we would never say this out loud, but we might begin to think this, well, where are you at, God, when I need you? You've forgotten me, so therefore I will forget you. Now, we would never even intentionally do that, but sometimes that happens in our life. Things aren't going the way that we want them to go. Hey, I want to remind you of this. Over and over again, we read in God's Word, He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So we need to be reminded every day. Listen, we need to be reminded every day that God is in charge. And even in those days when things are uncomfortable, and I said this the other night when we preached on discouragement, God is still loving, God is still righteous, and God is still a God of mercy. So I think He had them put up these stones to, number one, to shake their memory. Number two is this, to share their faith. All right, so real quickly, would you turn over to the book of Psalms? And we're going to go to Psalm 78. Psalm 78. Would you do that? Psalm 78. And I want to show you some things, and we'll make a connection here in just a moment with this thought. So number one is this, to shake their memory. And then number two, I think God had them set up these stones to help them to share their faith. And I'll show you what I mean by that here in just a little bit. All right, in Psalm 78, let's start with verse number one here. Psalm 78, verse one, where Asaph, the author of this psalm, says this: "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth." Now, what is he saying? Hey, you need to pay attention to my book, to my word. That's what the word law means, right? Pay attention. Incline your ears. Meaning this, listen, put your ears out and listen to what the word of God says. "I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to" what? Their children. "That the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to" who? "Their children. That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments." You know what God is saying? God is saying this: this is what I want you to do. And this is the application for us today. We are to teach our children our faith. Carry it on from one generation to another generation. And so God is saying right here in Psalm 78, He is commanding the fathers to make God's Word. Listen, dads, okay? He has commanded the fathers to make the works of God known to their children. And the father is to teach the son, the grandfather to teach the grandson, and the grandson is to teach the great-great-grandson, and on it goes. Did you know that with God there is no generation gap? It is bridged age after age with the diligent teaching of God's Word. I have a quote here from John Phillips in his commentary on Psalm 78, said this: "What God wants is a spiritual chain reaction. The truth my father held will become truth that I hold. The truth I hold will become truth my sons hold. But it is not truth I hold because my father held it. It is truth I hold because it is truth. And God has commanded this kind of instruction, and He will bless it." So you know what he's saying? You pass your faith on to your children. Now, I did read verse 8, but look at verse 8 here in Psalm 78. And he says, "And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God." So I want to show you what happens if we don't instruct our children. So I need you to go to Judges chapter number 2, which is the book right after the book of Joshua, to Judges chapter number 2. And I want to show you something that as a result of the children of Israel not passing their faith down to their children. Notice this, Judges chapter 2, verse 10. Look at this. Well, let's read verse number 9. All right, so this is talking about Joshua. Joshua has died, verse 8, and they buried him. He died at 110 years old, in verse number 9, and they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the Mount of Ephraim on the north side of the hill Gaash. Verse 10. "And also all that generation were gathered under their fathers, meaning this, that everyone that passed over the Jordan River when they in Joshua chapter 4, they have all died out now. Now look, notice the rest of the verse. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which He had done for Israel. All right, so I have a Thompson Chain Bible, and at the beginning of every chapter, it gives a date. Now, I understand, you know, speculative dates, but at the beginning of Joshua chapter number 4, in Joshua chapter 4, it gives the date at 1451 B.C. And I understand, this is just speculation. And it says here in Judges chapter 2, verse 10, there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which He had done for Israel. All right, so the date that was given for Judges chapter 2 was 1425 B.C. All right, so when you go B.C., you're counting downward. So 1451 to 1425 B.C. Somebody do the math. Well, how many years is that? 26 years. All right. So here's the thought I want to make. We're talking about less than one generation. 26 years. That's not that long. We go from them setting up these stones at Gilgal so that when your children come by and they see these stones and they ask you, what mean you by these stones, you can tell them, here's what God did. 26 years later, we go to another generation who said basically this, Jehovah who? 26 years later, they didn't even know what God had done in Joshua chapter 4. 26 years later. A quote I read said this, that Christianity may be one generation from extinction. You know what? We have a great responsibility, parents, to pass our heritage. Is that what the name of this church is? To pass our heritage on to our children. So that we won't get 26 years down the road and your children and grandchildren will say, we don't even know who God is. That's tragic, isn't it? So tell them, you say, well, I don't believe that's possible for Christianity to be extinct. Tell that to that generation in Judges chapter 2. That didn't even know who Jehovah God was. So there is a reasons why we need to set up these stones. Number one, to shake their memory. Number two, to share their faith. And then the last thing is this, and that is to shatter their past. Go back to Joshua chapter number 4. Joshua chapter 4. And I'm going to read verse number 9, and then we'll look at Joshua chapter 5 and look at verse number 9 in Joshua 5. But look what it says in verse 9. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priest which bare the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. Now look at Joshua 5, next chapter over, verse 9. Chapter 5, verse 9. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore, the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. All right. So there are actually two sets of stones. Joshua had 12 men that he'd already picked to be the ones to do this. And they picked up a stone each, 12 men. And we're not talking about little pebbles here. I mean, they were big enough to where they carried them out on their shoulders. Okay, do you get that? So we're not talking about little bitty rocks here. And they picked up 12 out of the midst of Jordan and carried them over and set them up at a place called Gilgal. Joshua then had those same 12 men take 12 stones and set them up in the midst of the Jordan River, right in the river bottom, right? So the priest standing there with the Ark of the Covenant, when all the children of Israel had passed over the Jordan River, then the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant came up out of the river, and as soon as they did, the waters began to flow again on the Jordan River. Now, I tend to believe, and I think I'm correct in this, that when the waters begin to flow, and have you ever seen water flowing at raging rivers? I saw a video one time in Ruidoso, New Mexico. They had flooding going on, and a 18-wheeler is floating down the highway. Have you ever seen videos of houses floating in the river? Chances are those rocks, as soon as the water began to flow again, perhaps they weren't even standing on top of each other. But that's not the point I want to make. The point I want to make is this. God also says to name that place when he says to Joshua, I have rolled the reproach of Israel away in verse number 9 of chapter 5. He said, name this place Gilgal. Do you know what the name Gilgal means? It means rolled away. It means a whirlwind or a rolling thing. 40 years, and he says there in verse 9 of chapter 5, 40 years of reproach have been rolled away just like that. 40 years of defeat have been rolled away just like that. And buried just like those stones that are in the midst of the Jordan River. You can't see them, but they know, he says they are there unto this day. It's been covered. There's another stone that was rolled away in Luke chapter 24. Not to let Jesus out, by the way, but to let everybody know he's not here, but he's risen. And because that stone was rolled away that day, you and I can have the reproach of our sin completely rolled away. Rolled away, rolled away, rolled away. Every burden of my heart rolled away. Every sin, what? Had to go neath the crimson flow. Hallelujah. Rolled away, rolled away, rolled away. How many of you know that? Every burden of my heart rolled away. Do you know what God did for you that day when Jesus came up out of that tomb? He rolled the reproach of your sin away. Just like he rolled the reproach of the history of the nation of Israel, that day he rolled all of that 40 years of failure. Did you see that verse number 9? The reproach of Egypt from off you. All of those old horrible things that happened on their way to the promised land, as soon as they crossed over the Jordan River and those waters began to flow, God says, I've rolled the reproach of Egypt from off you. That stone was rolled away on that day, not to let Jesus out, but to shatter our past, to give us a new beginning. You know, the stones that were set up on the bank of the Jordan weren't just for remembering, because God also had them set up, those 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan River, to remind them that their past has been removed. Now, here's one thing I want you to understand. You can't change your past. You can't change it. But you can certainly have a new present by trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. See, because when we set up those, when God had them set up those memorial, those stones in the midst of the river and that place called Gilgal, you know what he was reminding them of? Here's what he's reminding them of: that God is still working, that God is powerful, that God is love. So do you need to be reminded of what God has done in your life? Are you passing your heritage on to your children so that they in turn can pass it on to their children and their children to their children, and on and on and on it should go? So you know what? We need to rise up and build some fresh memorials in our homes. We talk about this a lot. You know, telling your children, when they ask the what, tell them why we do the things that we do. Daddy, why do we go to church? Why have we gone to church every night this week? Well, because we don't want the pastor to get up there and be mad at us. No, no. You know why you go to church every night this week? You go because this is the place where you need to be every night this week. Why do we read our Bible every day? Aren't those legitimate questions? Why do you put money in the offering plate? Does God really, really love me? When your kids ask you that question, can you not look at them and say, well, here, let me tell you why we go to church. Let me tell you why we read our Bible. And let me tell you, yes, God really loves you, and here's what He did for you. He sent His Son to pay the price for your sin. So I'm talking to you right now, okay? God did that for you. And I think they sang, the group that was here, the Richardson, sang a song, you know, the other night. And I'm sitting there thinking, you know what? Listen, if you were the only person that needed a Savior in this building today, Jesus still would have paid the price for your sin. He would have. So are you passing your heritage on to your children? Do you need to have a God to roll your past away and give you a new future? You can have that through Jesus Christ. So if you're not saved this morning, when we give the invitation here in just a moment, we're going to ask you to come down. Somebody will take the Word of God and show you how you can know for sure that you'd go to heaven if you die. So I don't think anybody can know. The Bible is clear on that. The Word of God is clear on that. You can know that you can have eternal life. And it comes only through Jesus Christ. It doesn't come through works. There are churches all around you, right here in this city, that they think they're doing a service to God. But it's not by works. It's by faith and trusting what Jesus did for you on the cross of Calvary. So when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? You have an opportunity to share your faith. You have an opportunity to shatter your past. You have an opportunity, don't you, to do what God says for us to do in His Word. Would you bow your heads for prayer with me? And as we bow together this morning, we're going to have an invitation, which just simply means we invite you to come. If God is burdening your heart this morning about your responsibility as parents, as grandparents, to show your children your faith, to share that faith with them, maybe your memory needs to be shaken a little bit today. Maybe you've just forgotten how good God has been to you. Maybe that memory needs to be shaken this morning. Maybe you need to share your faith with your children. Maybe you need to shatter your past by giving your trust to what Jesus did for you on the cross of Calvary. Whatever the need is, we're going to have an invitation. We're going to invite you to come. I'm going to have a word of prayer, have you stand, and then Pastor will come and lead us in the invitation song. So, Father, thank you for those that are here this morning. And I do ask that for be one person that's here in this auditorium today, or perhaps even listening by live stream, that has never trusted your Son Jesus to pay the price for their sin, that today they would come. Today is the day of salvation. We have no guarantees that tomorrow will ever come. So please, Lord, speak to hearts. If there be some parents that are here today that are under conviction about not sharing their faith with their children, by not taking them under wing and trying to help them to see why they go to church every week, and why we read our Bibles, and why we pray to a God that we cannot even see, but yet we know that He's there. So Lord, help us to share our faith. Help those that need a Savior to shatter their past by trusting in the Savior, that day when that stone was rolled away, gives us a new life through what He did for us at Calvary. So speak to hearts this morning, we pray, in Jesus' name.